I know this talk was called Detoxification and Weight Loss. That's because my handlers said, if you don't put weight loss in New Year's, nobody's going to come. But it's really a detox talk. If you have more questions about weight loss other than detoxification, I'm happy to answer them. We should have plenty of time tonight. I tried to hone down the slides. You'll appreciate this. So that we aren't talking over by an hour at a time or anything else like that. And there's lots of times for question and answer. If you have any question during the course of the presentation, ask it right in the middle of it. If it gets unwieldy and you guys are going wild, I'll rein you back in, but I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue. So, how to do a toxic dump. You have to make this a little fun, because you can take off with these words in any number of ways. But that's really detoxification. My job for you guys is going to define what toxicity is, so you have an idea what the signs and symptoms of toxicity are, some degree of how to test for it if you wish to, and of course, how to detoxify. There are other terms and things, so I'm going to try to keep this as simple as possible. There's as many ways to detox as there are to exercise. So am I going to cover every possible way? No. Okay. But we're going to try to cover over how to do this whole thing that people talk about detoxification, but I'd say most importantly, well, why is that important? That's why. Isn't that a cool little image? Anyways, skull and crossbones. toxicity. What was the funnest one I could find on Google or wherever? Most of the time when you're thinking of detox, you're thinking of Lindsay Lohan. And that's not what we're covering tonight. Okay? So that's a whole other form of detox, which is getting away from drugs and alcohol. And there's a whole specialty to deal with that. I'm not talking about how to get people away from drugs and alcohol, although that can be very important. Okay? We're talking more about this thing. So, and by the way, this PowerPoint presentation is going to be up on the website if you want to look at it again in the future. In the past, we used to give the handout to people. Most people were so busy looking at that, I think they were kind of missing the message behind that. So, this will be available if you want to look at it. Tonight, we're not doing anything so profoundly, important that I think you have to take a look at it, but it'll be there. Toxicity is defined as the degree of harm a substance or substances causes to a biological organism. It's that simple, okay? Any substance can be toxic, okay? So be very clear. Breathing oxygen is toxic. I highly recommend it, but it's toxic anyways, okay? Can you drink enough water to even kill yourself? Yes. That's not the majority of people's issues, but it's possible. So what I'm trying to point out to you, just living is a source of toxicity. So therefore, since all of you are living, you're therefore toxic, okay? It's that simple, right? Now, I'll make it more impressive and talk about exotoxins and endotoxins, and we can go on and on. This world, there's 1,000 more toxic chemicals you're exposed to in this world today than you were 100 years ago. And where all the great detoxification systems came about, they didn't even know about these substances. And they still said you were getting toxic. So the term exotoxin means something coming from outside of you. Now, one thing I wish I'd, put this up when I did the slide, that's especially true for women who are putting hair dye on the time and cosmetics and all these other things. Women are more toxic than men. All because of more exposures, and you have a higher percent body fat than we do. So it's a bigger issue for women than it is even for men because of higher exposures, especially from all the cosmetics and hair dyes and all the things that you guys use. Okay, that's a whole industry, and I'm not trying to blast it or anything else like that. But it is true, and because of higher percent body fat, on average, of course, curvers and things like that, you're going to store more toxins. So is this issue even a bigger issue for women than men? Yes. Those are the things, and this is plastics and chemicals, and I might talk a little bit if you have interest about the kind of testing that we can do if you really are curious about what's, getting you, but there's all kinds of things present in every one of your systems. Pesticides that have been around for a long time, phthalates and plastics, things in your plastics, the amount of chemicals disrupting your endocrine system, okay? And this is all the stuff that we're calling toxicity, okay, that everybody's exposed to. DDT is on the North Pole. If it's in the North Pole, it's in you, period, okay? Endotoxins. This is a huge topic out there, okay? If you, there's a whole PowerPoint presentation on gastrointestinal health. I encourage you to look that, okay? If we come symptoms and you think you're toxic and you're trying detox and it's not getting better, it might be because you've got a whole source of toxins coming in from inside you, okay? And that includes our gastrointestinal tract. And yes, parasites and candidas and bacterias that send toxins into your body, as well as just the stored toxins from things in the past. So many people say, well, I can't be toxic. I'm eating so well now. It could be stuff from forever ago, okay? It can be stuff from inside your intestinal tract, okay? All kinds of things. I'm not trying to scare you about this, but most people are woefully uneducated about these sorts of toxins. And I'm not trying to make people, you know, afraid and want to live in a plastic bubble or something else like that, because those are toxic. see, that poor boy in the bubble, little did he know. see, not dangerous everywhere. We don't want that. That's my point, okay? But, man, they are everywhere. So, I do not want you to lose sight of this. I think, still, the number one source of toxicity for the human organism, we have a unique ability to stress ourselves. Okay, and this, the quality of your thought processes, the connection of spirit, mind, body, is one of the key sources, and how sometimes that's missing, the key source of toxicity for most people. When we're regenerating whatever past worries, past concerns, things that occurred to us, how life is unfair, all those other things, and it's running through our head, you're activating fight or flight responses, noradrenaline, epinephrine, all these other things leading to higher rates of free radical metabolism and more toxicity. Yes, you can be your greatest source of toxicity, even if you're eating pure food, drinking pure water, etc. I really want to make that clear to you. This thing, your noodle, can be your greatest source of toxicity. So if people are feeling toxic, some can that include detoxification, like psychotherapy and other things? And the answer is yes, because that process going on there can be the person's greatest source of toxicity. So there's a lot of things, I think we can all agree to that, that can make us toxic. So what are the symptoms of toxicity? Now, this is I was a little punchy when I was doing this. Okay, so how do you know that you're toxic? Well, you're not dead yet. What if you're mostly dead? Still toxic, okay? So since you're alive, you are toxic. If you're not alive, you don't need a detox program, you need a decomposition plan. Now, this is part of one of those gut checks to make sure people are paying attention. Yes, that means decomposing. It's a little like, you know, what's Beethoven doing? So yes, you are toxic, and you need to put detoxification as one of your key components to preventive medicine. Why? Because you're alive. It is that simple. Now, I can't emphasize enough, there's as many ways of doing this as you can think of, but I cannot make that point clear enough. Like I said here, not everybody is following these things. We ourselves are not enlightened, only meeting enlightened people. Pure food, pure. You are developing free radical metabolites. And you can measure all kinds of stuff in people's urine, blood, and whatever else to measure these things. You know they're there anyways. So are there markers that we can measure of toxicity unequivocally? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So those symptoms are the general, I don't feel quite right or out of sync. I'm tired. I'm achy, my bad breath, any skin disturbance, meaning rashes and things that come and go, any digestive disturbance can be a sign of toxicity. You'll probably get to this, any sleep disruption. When I say sleep disruption, too much sleep or too little sleep, lack of restorative sleep, all a sign of general toxicity. Weight gain or weight loss, depending on what the person's prone to, okay? Poor libido, lack of sex drive, lack of stamina, all these things. Now, and I got to emphasize, I've been doing this internal medicine thing for a long time. You do standard internal medicine tests at this point, okay, nothing's wrong. All the blood tests are fine, okay? So if you listen to all those symptoms, okay, I'm tired and achy and I don't feel good, my sleep doesn't feel good, what does your doctor give you? An antidepressant. It's true, okay? Because if you had all that, you'd sound depressed. Those things would qualify, I promise, for depression just from these symptoms alone. And That's why those questionnaires are guided to making the doctor give you an antidepressant, by the way, because these are symptoms that can be associated with depression. And is depression, dysthymia, maybe low-grade depression, one of the things that can be associated with toxicity? Of course, okay? Because you see the doctor, all the tests are fine, must be depressed, okay? So most people who are on antidepressants, they're often just suffering from this toxicity, which led to bringing on their depressive symptoms, okay? Because toxicity is the dis-ease that precedes disease. And then go through this system, okay? Does everybody understand that? Or are you sitting there and stunned? I don't like him. Okay. It's okay. Usually one out of a crowd likes me. That's the rest is kind of... All right. Disease can be a good thing, because disease is supposed to guide you, okay, to doing something about your life, okay? Most people deal with disease. See, this fellow here should be feeling disease, okay? That symptom is supposed to guide you. Most of us get in line and take the symptom reliever, okay? Because we're not treating the problem, we're treating the symptom of the time. And when we just take symptom relievers, a sleeping pill, an antidepressant, a this, a that, we're not listening to the symptoms, and we're leading to this outcome, okay? It's really the issue. So why do we need to treat toxicity? Because it's the precursor of all the diseases. And yes, as we talk about the stages of disease, which I will just right now, six stages of disease I've adapted especially from the Ayurvedic medicine. Ayurvedic medicine is a system of healing that I know fairly well, okay? I've taken out the vatas and pittas and kaphas and kind of tried to put it into normal terms, okay? Something like this is part of other systems of healing too, and sometimes it's broken into seven or eight or five. Again, I'll just stick with basics. But according to all systems of healing, going from vibrantly well to diseased is a process. You just didn't wake up one morning with a heart attack. It was a long state of disease. He might not have had symptoms. I was with a young guy today. He was mainly in to support his wife and have her be healthy. And it turns out he's got a lot of coronary artery disease and all these other things, but he feels fine. So he's going to be one of those people in that feels well right up until that point that they don't. And we want to intervene, okay? Because sometimes we look for signs of toxicity. Disease is developing, okay? That's where your doctor comes in, okay? And because they've gone through quite a process, and sometimes, for some reason, usually because we're not paying attention, we don't get enough symptoms to warn us of what's happening in our body. But the basic process goes like this. Life is a sexually transmitted incurable disease. We've all established that, okay? Okay. And if we're born with, and we're following those criteria, not only meeting enlightened people, okay, we're not only breathing pure air, we are going to start developing evidence of toxicity just because we're breathing air. That in and of itself is enough to do it, and whatever else we're being exposed to, physically, emotionally, mentally, otherwise. Aggravation is the next step of disease. As toxins accumulate, you go from vibrantly well, okay, but you just don't feel quite as well. And this is a point where you're starting to say, yeah, you know, I feel good, but, you know, not as good as I used to. And you can't really say what's going on. You just don't feel quite as well as I used to, okay? And that's not a disease state, and nor are we trying to make it into a disease state, unless we call everything from the point of breathing on a disease state. Then you go to dissemination. Dissemination just means these free radical metabolites, damaged DNA, oxidized LDL, I could go on and on about what these things are, all right, are all accumulating in your body and get past a certain point, okay, of aggravation where you start to get symptoms, okay? And when I say symptoms, not just not feeling quite right, starting to feel unwell, okay? And what that means is the general things. I just don't feel quite right, or I'm not sleeping right, achy, etc. Localization is the next phase of disease. And by the way, the reason I'm giving you a system of disease is I think this is a much better explanation of how we develop disease than anything else going on in a model where it just says, I have this disease. Because the Western doctor, we emphasize, is taught pathophysiology. How do I diagnose disease? There's nothing in our training about how you develop disease. Okay. And when I say it that way, the mythologies of cholesterol and all this other stuff that's out there has nothing to do with how we develop disease, because once again, if you have high cholesterol, why? And that goes into these other things. So localization is where your weak spot comes out. So if you're prone to sinus problems, you get sinusy and congested. If you're prone to low back pain, you get low back pain. Constipated, hemorrhoids, whatever it is, okay, you get some symptoms that now the doctor can finally start giving you a symptom reliever for, okay? Really. And at this phase of disease, there's, again, no specific lab test. I'm not saying you're not having symptoms that are obvious, but no specific lab test will say what's really going on, but you start taking a myriad of symptom relievers in today's world, which are toxins. Remember, father of pharmacology, all medicines are poisons, just a matter of the dosage. So what is today's thing for toxicity? What do we do to treat toxicity in today's world? We give you more toxins. True poisons. So that not only, and the beauty of those poisons is they work to relieve your symptoms, your ongoing disease process of accumulating toxicity goes on even at even more rapid pace because we've toxified you and we've made you into the cow who now no longer has a symptom, no instinct about what's going on, and you just keep stepping forward. That's the horror of how good symptom relievers are. Okay. Now, once again, if you have a symptom like, you know, I stubbed my toe, okay, and it's pretty clear why, you know, and it really hurts that night, taking some ibuprofen one time, getting some sleep, nothing wrong with that, but ongoing taking of symptom relievers, go down any grocery store, like the digestive section, how many antacids and constipation and diarrhea medicines are all there, all meant to kind of keep you from actually listening to yourself. Profound, okay? So we go from this to manifestation. And like I said, you could take any symptom and you go from a scratchy throat and it becomes a tonsillitis. You go from sinus congestion to sinusitis. And obviously we could take any part of your body and, you know, take this accumulation phase and go on forward. And then, and this is the problem, once you have that, now you have even usually more toxic drug to treat it. Okay. And you can deal with the symptom of the day or the sign of the day and get worse. Okay, and develop chronic disease because you've overcome your natural repair mechanisms because you're not dealing with the underlying problem. Okay, and that's a setting for all of our chronic diseases, hardening of the arteries, arteriosclerosis, the cancers and autoimmune diseases and all these things. There's, you know, a system known as homotoxicology. I cannot emphasize enough, this stage of disease is present everywhere in the world with its own unique variations, whether you're Germanic or, you know, Indian, etc., that says exactly the same stuff with, you know, unique little twists. So, once again, toxicity is the generation of all of our diseases, okay? That's why it's really important to treat and to detoxify and take the time out to do it. Most people know this, you know, the example of the car, we have our own healing mechanisms, but most people know, I got to change my oil every 3,000 miles. Okay? We do maintenance on our cars, but we don't do maintenance on ourselves because somehow we've been sold that you don't do that. Okay, it's kind of interesting. And so, yes, you need something to stimulate your body's natural healing mechanisms. And this is why. Now, I can't emphasize enough, if somebody has a heart attack, that's where the doctor comes in and can save you and be wonderful and yay, okay? But in the prevention of disease, almost nothing is offered because the training isn't at all geared towards that. And I'm a Western doctor. I see a lot of people say, I don't like doctors. Well, I am one. So I want people to like their doctors. But we got to get people doing self-care free of their MDs who don't know this part of things, even if you want them to. Okay, because they're not trained in it. I can't emphasize, it's not fair to expect them to know all these things unless they've actually trained themselves in it. All right? So, I think, you know, this part is clear. This is the only form of preventive medicine that exists, detoxification and working on those kinds of things. Most of what doctors call preventive medicine, pap smears and mammograms, are early detection devices. And again, I'm a fan of early detection. Everybody knows that. Do I recommend a colonoscopy every 10 years after the age of 50? Do I recommend thermograms or mammograms or other forms of breast cancer screening? Of course I do. Okay, I mean, but in no way, shape, or form is that preventive medicine. That's just early detection medicine, which is, again, another good thing to know about. But in no way is that helping you prevent a disease. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions at this point, or I'm just that crystal tonight? Man, I love it when I'm crystal. All right. So, testing for toxicity. Now, you might ask, and this goes into me and testing. So, the nature of surgeons is to do surgery. The nature of interns, okay, to do tests. I love tests, okay? I really do. And so, that being stated, do we need to do as much testing as we're doing? And since I already told you that I would do, and we'll talk about dosing, that I'm recommending detox for everyone on a routine basis anyways, do we need a lot of toxicity tests? And the answer is, if you're doing detox and you're still having trouble getting over these symptoms, we might need to look for specific form of toxins in you to help you overcome what may be going on in your body. Because I already told you, there's an enormous toxic burden that you're not aware of. Okay, so we can help you make aware of those things. And for instance, looking down, I'll do the first one next, this heavy metal toxicity. So if you don't test for it, you don't find it. Okay, so there's a very specific, you know, whether the person has a lot of amalgam fillings, mercury fillings, or they have, exposure to, played with thermometers in the past, eat a ton of fish or something else like that, canned tuna fish and all the things. Test for it. You know, I a lot of doctors, I don't find any heavy metal toxicity, but they never test for it. All right. Or they do a blood test for it, which you cannot, unless you were exposed yesterday, okay, find it. So the blood tests for heavy metals are useless. And so you actually have to do a chelating agent, something to claw it out of your system. Chelation means to claw onto. And do a 6-hour urine collection and then see if you have a high level of heavy metals in your urine. Is that a good toxicity test? And if you have heavy metal toxicity, then yes, there's specific ways of getting that out of your system. Most of the general detox things will tell you to do, get it out of there anyways, okay? So that's why not everybody has to do this, but it's an idea, especially if you have any wonder. I wonder if all those mercury fillings affected me. Let's test. And even I don't test enough probably sometimes. And a lot of these tests aren't covered by people's insurances, my functional medicine tests, because your insurances are based on testing for diseases, not on testing for toxicity and causes for disease. So why aren't these covered by insurance? Because they make sense. That's pretty much it. And we're actually getting to the root cause of things. Everybody knows that my wellness evaluation before you see me, there's a BIA test, bioimpedance analysis, running a microcurrent through the body. There's more stuff on that on the website. But basically looking at cellular health markers and this ratio of intracellular water to extracellular water, which is one of the simplest tests for toxicity in the body. The old saying in toxicity medicine is the solution to pollution is dilution. Okay, so if your body has toxic, it will send fluid out into the extracellular space to try to wash it away. And the water inside the cell will be lower, and you'll therefore be dehydrated, even if you don't think you are, okay, as your body's trying to flush toxins out of your body. So it's one of the simplest tests for toxicity around, and it's easy to do. Yes, that's the bioimpedance analysis we're talking about. Yes, okay. Very simplest, easiest thing to do. Is it a perfect test? I know of no perfect tests in the world, right? I think every doctor has to get better and better at this, myself included, because the world of environmental medicine and stuff, you know, there's a lot of freaky stuff out there. You never know, because there's a lot of, you want good data behind anything you do as a Western doctor, okay? And this is not an area that sometimes you find really great research, because there is this key component, which is unique sensitivity to each thing. MSG is an example. I ate at this Panda restaurant once because I was dumb. I was meeting somebody and I was starved and I ate anyways, and I was like dying because of the MSG and stuff that was in there. But you know what? I was wondering, because there's an entire crowd of people eating there, and everybody felt that miserable after eating here, I can't imagine everybody kept going back for misery, you know, and so would I be more sensitive to that than other people? Must be, I would hope, right? So when we talk about a toxin, there's this individual sensitivity that you can't measure other than subjectively, right? And that's bad science, by the way. Well, it made me feel icky. See, that doesn't come across in your articles, okay? So then these other functional medicine tests. Functional medicine is defining how are you being affected by something? So, for instance, what is a good functional medicine test for toxicity? There's stool analyses looking for parasites and other things in your body generating endotoxins, okay, from within you. So a lot of people have developed digestive disorders, imbalances of bacteria, and yes, other things like parasites and candida, and getting that out of their body, even if they don't have a lot of digestive symptoms, can cause a great dump, release of toxins. Okay, yes, I love, yeah. Anyways, and so that's one thing. I do tests for urine for porphyrins. Porphyrins is not something I'd expect you guys to know about, but it's when your body's making hemoglobin, it's a very sensitive system, and you can look for evidence of toxicity based upon your body's inability to make certain molecules like hemoglobin in your body, and you can find out how toxic you are based upon those kinds of tests. There's lots of ways of testing to see if functionally you're not working as well as you can, because you'll have enough hemoglobin, okay, but because of all these chemicals in your body, you have a lot of toxic spin-off as you make hemoglobin, and you can measure toxic spin-off. Okay, that's just another idea of a functional medicine test to see how toxic you are. And recently had an example of somebody who, again, we thought it was heavy metals, but their heavy metals test was kind of unremarkable, but their porphyrins was so toxic. So I actually think for her, the reason for the toxic spinoff is more some of the other chemicals. We measured pesticides and phthalates and other things in her, and I think that's a bigger issue. So we're trying to figure out why she feels so bad. And I think it's a lot of things, but that's part of it. Okay, so... so when I say other tests, does everybody need a test for toxicity? No, I'm not saying that, because I'm telling you, you should detox anyways, because most of us have a little of those symptoms. I don't feel quite right, I'm a little achy, I'm a little tired, etc. Okay, so those are the things you want to look for, and if you have those things, yes, those are signs of toxicity. Now, let's not wait until I have a disease, until I go can take a drug for it. So, questions about toxicity. Urine tests and blood tests, but there's really something that most doctors don't do. They have to look for a doctor. WorldHealth.net, that's a group of anti-aging physicians, know a lot about these things, and they usually have a physician locator for different areas, and functional medicine. Yeah, WorldHealth.net. That's probably the best place to go for docs in the different areas who know how to do tests like this. I do it, yeah. Thanks for bringing that, because sometimes I forget to bring up chelation. Chelation is appropriate when you're testing for heavy metals, and if somebody's very high in heavy metals, for getting it out of their body. That's what chelation therapy is for. And it started in the days where, you know, before the days of unions and things, where poor people were, you know, painting warships with lead-based paints without anything else and getting extraordinarily lead toxic, okay? And by the way, let me tell you, that led into a lot of misuse of chelation, because a lot of these were older guys who happened to have heart disease, and when you chelated them, they seemed to get better and their angina would clear up. And everybody said, I can use chelation, meaning infuse a chemical, get lead out of the body, okay, and treat heart disease. What it doesn't do is treat heart disease. What it does do is if you have lead toxicity going into an inflammatory plaque, and I'm not trying to be all doctorish with you, but stick with me. Lead goes to fat sources. There's fat in the fatty plaque. And that lead will be a source of inflammation there, can leading a lot of disruption. You get the lead out of that, then you can actually have stabilization of that person's coronary artery disease if you have lead toxicity, but not otherwise. Okay? So does IV chelation work for arteriosclerosis? Yes, if you have heavy metal toxicity. Does that make sense? What you will hear, and what happens like at the Whitaker clinics of the world, is they just chelate everybody because it's a huge moneymaker. That's why. Okay, and they've done plenty of studies which show if you have somebody come in and see a wonderful nurse, you know, 40 visits in a row and gets a bag dripped into them, if it's a fake bag versus the real bag, pretty much everybody feels better for whatever you're treating because you get tender, loving care. Is there anything wrong with that? Not really. I mean, if people feel better, it's kind of nice, but the way most people use chelation is way off base because it's not due to it's great for the treatment of heavy metal toxicity. It just doesn't treat a whole host of other things that it's claimed to do. Okay, so, and the main reason chelation became so popular is because it is really it's a high profit procedure in a doctor's office. I almost never do chelation, which, you know, who knows? That's probably because I'm not smart or something, you know, because I could sell, trust me, I could sell chelation as better than Julian Whittaker could, but it's not something you sell. It's something you use in appropriate settings for heavy metal toxicity. And there is a time and a place for it, okay? And that's the other thing you'll hear Western medicine. There's never a place for chelation. Well, that's not true. It is the standard of care for heavy metal toxicity because it works for that. Yes, and I'm just going to repeat, even though I think everybody can hear you. So the question is, does toxicity affect general muscle function? Couple of cases even today, you know, one guy who had a recurring low back pain. We had some standard tests, and even though they would have been blown off, but he was a little on the dry side. So, you know, so he was dehydrated. So the first thing I thought about with his muscle function was, man, are you hydrating well enough? No. Okay, well, that's part of the reason why his back pain is recurring. And one of the things we said earlier, solution to pollution is dilution. So he's not doing enough hydration of his muscles, water, okay? And he might be more toxic as well, too. Toxicity can come out as just achiness. And so achy, sore muscles. There's, you know, the people that are most toxic that I see tend to be fibromyalgia, which is I kind of hurt all over, chronic fatigue. I'm tired all the time, okay? Irritable bowel, my digestion system doesn't work very well, and insomnia syndromes. And if you notice, all of those sound like toxicity, right? Okay? Because I'm achy, I'm tired, okay? My bowels don't work, and I'm not sleeping very well. That sounds like a toxicity syndrome, doesn't it? It does, I promise you. And so toxicity is one of the key things. The problem is that people feel so badly usually by the time you see them. Any attempt to help get toxins out, they usually go into their ache hurts so much that they can't take it, or they just start reacting to everything. So it can be very difficult to treat even if you identify what's going on. But yes, muscle soreness, achiness can be a symptom of toxicity, and it goes a lot into that uniqueness that we are, right? One person can be, like the guy today with severe coronary artery disease, he's in the 90th percentile, and he feels great, okay? He's toxic, okay? So he's not having the symptoms warning him, unfortunately. I don't know why that is. I'm just going to tell you, this is the way it is sometimes. Some people can have a lot of symptoms, and some people don't. Some people seem to go to that phase where it goes into the chronic phase pretty quickly, and it's tissue degeneration that's occurring more so than just feeling bad. But that's why I have this. Outside, it's funny with the not cutting in slide, because we hopefully our symptoms are meant to not be suppressed. Okay, we're supposed to listen to our symptoms. I don't wish pain on anybody. I don't wish heartburn on anybody, or constipation, or whatever you're feeling today. Okay, I didn't wish it on you, but if it's there. Okay, time to listen. I wonder what this means. Go into inquiry. Is it the quality of my thought processes? Am I anal retentive? That's why I'm constipated. It's possible. Okay, really is. Okay, or is it because I don't get enough fiber or enough water? See, these are the kinds of things that only you can answer. And we're trying to get people back to being their own best doctors, right? So you don't need me. And you say, you know what? When this acts up, when my sinuses act up, or my back pain, or my hemorrhoids, or my migraines, oops, that's my sign. I got to do another detox. Yeah, I'm kind of getting toxic again. And we do another detox. In the end, okay, I want you guys doing detox just because it's part of your routine of being healthy. All right? And because that's the real, you know, you guys know when I talk about meditation, it's not about stress reduction. It's about this journey of being human that you need silence as part of. Okay? We sell meditation as stress reduction because people buy that. This detoxification is about being vibrantly well. It isn't about, gosh, I got to treat my toxic symptoms again. Okay, so what gets people in, what gets people into these things is the symptom, though. People won't tend to learn meditation until they feel really stressed. And then it's a little late. Because they say, I can't meditate because I feel really stressed. I go, well, Isn't that why you're here? You know, and so, and it's tough. So we do these things to be vibrantly well, okay? And so start with detox to get toxins out of your body. And let me, because I might, when I say detox, if you're on the toxic side, this is not the time to be fasting, right? That would be like taking a horribly dirty room and say, let me clean it without any water. Okay, a really difficult solution thing to do. Okay, fasting is a wonderful process when you're not toxic. Okay, all right, and so you don't start as fasting. Most people have heard of fasting, not eating, just drinking water, maybe, and things like that. That's a wonderful process for healthy people, and part of that whole self-exploration, and silence, and meditation. Please, I'm a big fan of it. Okay, however, if you're on the toxic side, don't go trying to clean dirty things without cleaning solutions. Just not fair to your body, okay? So, how to detox? So, any system of detox calls for minimizing the incoming toxins, especially from the diet, enhancing your body's natural detoxification ability. So, detoxification is really that simple. Minimize what's coming in, maximize what's going out, all right? Okay, that makes sense, of course. And if you don't, if this is like cleaning the baseboards in your home. If you don't take the time to do it, your body usually has enough stressful things where it doesn't do much maintenance cleaning, okay? And it doesn't get a lot of this toxicity out of you. So taking the time to allow your body to cleanse itself is a hugely important thing, all right? And so, because usually we're in fight or flight, dealing with the next stress of the day, and when your body is dealing with the next stress of the day, it's not doing maintenance work. Most people I see, especially in medical office, their body is keyed into trying to deal with whatever disease or other things going on. It's not worried about cleaning the baseboards. Okay, you understand the metabolic equivalent, getting rid of old toxins. Okay, so I recommend a detox classically in the upper caste of past civilizations. You did a detox for at least 1 to 2 weeks. On a seasonal basis. Now, you might say, well, this is California. We don't have seasons. Aha, I'm doing just the right amount. shame on you. So that means at least 3 times a year, okay, for places without seasons. And you take the time. In a perfect world, you would go away to some wonderful spa. Everybody would make food for you. You would unplug from the electromagnetic mess that your world has become, okay? Really would, all right? No cell phones, no anything. Nobody would get a hold of you, even your kids. especially your kids. Just kidding. and you would just let your body heal, okay? Now, there's not a person here that doesn't sound good to, or at least it should, okay? And if it doesn't sound good to you, you're probably really toxic, okay? I got too much to do for that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I know if I use that criteria, nobody would do that. But I have people who go away into the Romanian spas, the German spas, and they come back with glorious experiences, okay? I mean, so I'm in, you know, Panchakarma, the Chopra centers and things like that. They do, Panchakarma means the five actions, okay? And this kind of goes into, the five actions used to include bloodletting and purging, okay? See, that wouldn't sell well at the Chopra Center. So those things, how about that? They don't do that anymore, okay? And, you know, there would be a lot of legal problems as well. So the five actions were the five ways of detoxing. And again, there was some reasoning behind those things. You know, you would purge toxins this way. You'd get herbalized enemas and get them out that way. You'd get them out through your skin, and you'd try to enhance movement through all your body. So there's a lot of reasons to use those five actions or other ones, but I promise the Panchakarma they do there now is wonderful and feels great. Herbalized enemas, you know. And that's the thing for most guys. As soon as you talk detox, you're trying to try to stick something in my butt, aren't you? No, you don't have to go that way if you don't want to, okay? It is a way of handling the situation, okay? But you don't have to use, you know, down there, okay? But colonics can be useful. There's lots of ways of doing this. I've done just about everything. Yes, including colonics. I did that for the first time a while back. What a unique experience. I can say I've done it now, so any of my patients, I really try to do anything reasonable to say, yeah, no, I've done that. It took, you know, I knew about colonics for, what, 30-some years before I got one done, so I'm not saying I charged in. but definitely unique. That's about as much as I can say. Detoxing. So the detox diet. In general, we try to get out all the foods that the person tends to eat on a regular basis, because those are foods that if your GI tract has any disruption, you're probably reacting to it, even a low-grade level, and it's difficult for you to digest. Those tend to be in American society, especially glutens and dairy, but the rest of these things tend to be part of that list. You can't make a detox diet so, you know, so if I had people say, I'm never giving up my glass of wine a night. Well, you do everything but one glass of wine a night, then that will be your detox diet. Of course, one glass of wine a night is not on a detox program, but if I can't get the person to do anything without, because they won't give it up, then hopefully, if they do enough detoxes down the road, usually they will, okay, because they realize, wow, I had a lot of benefit from that. I wonder if I'm, at some point it'll occur to them, I wonder if I'm reacting in some ways in this wine that's not so good. It's possible, huh? And eventually they have to come to that. So a detox diet. And why I reason, there's this one program here that this called, and this is a simple thing from the functional medicine programs. This is called Ultra Clear Renew. And you don't have to do this one, but it gives you a little outline of what foods to eat, what day, what recipes and things. And this makes doing a detox easier. Not easy, easier, okay? Because you have to really work at this. Cutting all these things out, getting the right foods around, getting the right things to clear your body out is a little bit of work, but it's worth it, okay? And there's not a time when I, this is a true story, when I got out of medical school and all these other types of things in residencies, there's a possibility I was a little toxic, you know? And yeah, when I first started doing detoxes, I'm telling you, midway through, I would always get fevers to 102 that would last days, okay? Now, fortunately, I'm not, whatever that was, that toxic, that happens to me all the time. My body type is more prone to get fevers. I don't know anybody else who've ever had that experience to that degree, but that's what happened to me. Okay, I'm just bringing that as an example. If I wasn't ready for it, though, then I would have been, man, what's going on? You know, this is horrible. I just tended to burn out stuff, okay? And so yes, when you start a detox, you can feel funkier, okay, than you already were going in. That's the first part of it. And as you cleanse, you can feel better and lighter and cleaner and more energetic. But it is a process. So then that means these are the foods to eat. You never want to focus just on what you can eat, because then, you know, it always becomes that, you know, even the apple thing, you know. And so again, these are things you can eat. So you make sure you have enough organic fruits and vegetables. You juice if you want to. You don't juice if you don't want to. Okay, I mean, juicing is wonderful during a detox, okay. And again, of course, you know, I had this run nuts when people, well, I react to peanuts. Well, don't eat peanuts, okay? I mean, you know, obviously common sense has to dictate. If you know you react to something on this list, you don't eat it, even if it was rice, okay? You're just trying to minimize allergens coming in, give your body enough nutrients to help you process toxins out of your body, okay? But not so much that so much work is being spent on digestion and digesting your food. You're supposed to be digesting yourself. Okay, that's a really important part when we talk about, you know, sleep quality. Not eating for the 3 hours before bedtime isn't just a weight loss thing. It's making sure that your digestive tract is off so that sleep is for digesting your body and digesting your mind. Okay, so if you're eating food before you go to bed, you really are increasing toxicity because you're putting all of your body's energy towards digesting food when it needs to be digesting you. And that's your daily detox, is sleeping well and getting a sleep schedule and everything else, okay? So, other common questions. Of course, you don't drink alcohol during... I just gave the example before, is if somebody won't do it and they refuse to ever detox, and you bite the bullet and say, but you take alcohol out. Medicines, you try to take not a single medicine unless it's prescribed for your doctor. Of course, if you're on a blood pressure medicine, we keep you on a blood pressure medicine, etc. There's a few exceptions that I would only change under the advisement of a doctor. So you stay on your prescription medicines, even if they're part of your toxicity, yes, okay, because we don't want people messing up whatever medical condition. I mean, you know, I really have had people, do I just keep taking my seizure medicines? Yes! See, that would be a bad outcome. You know, so, you know, you know, obvious things, but some people are surprised because there are websites that make it sound like you can't take any medicine at all. Take the prescriptions that are meant for, like, seizures and those types of things. Minimize everything else, okay? That means if you feel achy, you don't take ibuprofen or Tylenol or other toxins, right? Yeah, exactly. And if you've never, you know, caffeine and coffee in particular, did the radio show a while back, and somebody brought up, you know, coffee because I have an article, Coffee for Health. Coffee actually is a stimulant of detoxification, okay? And actually, it's a phase one and a phase two stimulant. And that probably doesn't mean much to you, but it means a lot to people who do detox, okay? And so there's a lot of reasons why coffee can be good for detoxifying, all right? Now, coffee is always listed as a thing toxic. And if you've never detoxed from coffee, you need to. You need to experience that as one heck of a thing to go through and things like that. So, because you can react to coffee. And if anybody has chronic problems and they've never taken themselves off coffee, they need to. Or herbal tea or monster drinks or, you know, whatever else their source of caffeine is. That's why I want to make sure that that's clear. Is it true that caffeine and coffee is always a source of toxicity? No. Coffee enemas are one of the classic ways of detoxing a body. And it's a wonderful way of stimulating things. But guess what? It actually works orally too. Okay? There's some different properties why you can say coffee enemas might have some unique things given per rectum. Okay? But coffee is a good detoxifying agent for the most part. But it can be very commonly something you're reacting to. You take it out during a detox. Yes? It's actually both if you're doing a detox, okay? Coffee, it's a great question. Thank you. You know, the caffeine everybody picks on as being the thing you could be reacting to the most because it's possible, okay? But there are all kinds of wonderful things in coffee that are usually very healthy, but you can react to them too. And so all the polyphenols and all the wonderful things, you know, that are helpful for the brain and for the liver and for all the other things that are good about coffee can become a source of a personal irritation for some person. So that's why if you drink coffee every day and you're doing a detox, you need to cut that out because we need to give you a clean slate. So that's why I tell people you do some form of cleansing for 2 weeks, and then one of the greatest parts of the learning process is now have that ice cream that you had every day and have a good bowl, okay? And after 2 weeks, see how you feel after that, and you might go, wow, why does it make me feel so bad? Because after 2 weeks, this is the example, you start smoking cigarettes, what happens? You cough, right? The first time, like that. After a couple of weeks, are you coughing anymore? No, because your body says, this person's so damn, not listening, that I'm going to stop having them cough because they're not listening. And then you keep smoking, right? Okay, so when you eat something that you're reacting to, after a while, your body goes, man, they are not paying any attention. And the symptoms go down and lets you get away with it. Okay, so you take 2 weeks off of a gluten or something that you might be reacting to, and then you introduce it again. Now you've had a chance, like not smoking for a few weeks and then smoking again, to really recalibrate things. And now you can pay attention and hopefully be more conscious about what you're putting into your body. Does that make sense? That's one of the key parts of doing a detox is what you do afterwards. Because you know what? Even as squeaky clean as you might feel, what will happen is the holidays will come along, or the Gators start losing, or something, and you start drinking again. You know, just things like that. I'm speaking theoretically entirely, of course. and you start doing some things that might be a little toxic. And life goes on, and you start doing some things that you used to do because they're part of your patterns, and you start developing more toxicity, and then you detox again, and you kind of keep paying attention to these types of things. And so, so when you do it, and we'll talk about more about how to detox, but does everybody understand a detox diet for a 1 to 2 week period, whether you use a booklet that tells you how to use recipes, is pure organic clean foods that you don't tend to eat daily. So if you've been eating soy every day, you detox from soy because it could be a problem for you. Okay. I'm not saying soy is toxic, and I'm not saying everybody reacts negatively to dairy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to take some time out if you're not feeling quite right, especially to get a real good bead on whether you do react to them. Because at the point, let's say you did eat ice cream out 2 weeks and you felt horrible, at that point you've got a decision to make. Man, I keep eating ice cream or not? Hopefully not. If you put fuel into your Union 76 station and your car didn't work, you wouldn't keep fueling there. Okay? Okay? You following me? Fueling me, people? Okay? You put something in and you don't get run good. Hello? Okay? Did you...
Is it all you can eat at the right foods?
Is it all you can eat? Yeah, that was funny. We had somebody call it a day. I feel so much better when my stomach's really full. It's like, We were asking, what's the diagnosis? He's a guy, you know? Feed him, and then we were joking about the other two things that, you know, how do you keep a guy healthy? Well, it's a full stomach, and it's the only answer to everything. So back to that, no. You're trying to minimize and eat as, you know, as little as you need to. Great question, by the way, and thank you for bringing that up. This is a time to become more comfortable with hunger as well, okay? And you're just trying to put enough stuff into your body so you don't get all logy and weird and feel horrible. And you just eat to the point of comfort. When I say comfort, where you're not feeling so poorly. And so, and you eat small portions. And again, if you're eating any lean meat, okay, and that's an if, okay, because in general we take that out, then you eat that deck of card portions. And if you're eating even veggies, you do the CD case portion. The goal isn't to lose weight. The goal is to minimize the work of digestion that you're putting on your body. And that's a great question there, because there is a lot of toxicity generated just from trying to eat. So we want to give you some nutrients, and that's why we tend to give a lot of supportive nutrients for cleansing without throwing a ton of food into the person.
Is there an exercise or don't exercise component?
Great question as well. In general, if you're detoxing, you have to go low on your exercise. Okay, and great questions. We'll cover those now. And so because you're trying to take the energy to detox. So this goes into the same thing. Your metabolic energy is to try to help your body cleanse things from your system. Is a good walk and hiking in nature a good thing to do? Pushing your body to the limit when you're already trying to release toxins, generating free radical metabolites if you're pushing yourself like CrossFit training and things like that, not a time to do that while you're trying to detox. Great question. Is there another question? Yes. Vitamins. Vitamins, I actually do keep people on most of their normal nutrients and things because I don't see any reason to pull those out unless we're having a lot of confusion about what they might be reacting to, including their vitamins. And so if there's a lot of confusion, I do this all the time with people. If they're taking a lot of supplements and they're feeling funky and weird, stop them all, okay, because they're not sure any of them are really helping anyways, okay. So, but if they have a pretty good routine that they feel pretty confident in and things, then we keep them going. I take them off, absolutely. You know, that what I usually tell people is, is there anything you're taking? Because I see people, you know, boatloads of supplements sometimes. And so, is there anything in your, you know, bunch here that you're sure you feel better with? Because you never want to mess with that, okay? Because if they're sure that their whatever makes them feel better, and it's basically something safe, you know, right? They'll stay on that, okay? But if they're, like most people, they're feeling poorly and they're taking a gob of things, their BIA tests show that they're toxic, and all the things that those supplements we're supposed to be doing aren't, poosh, we take them off them.
How about a whole food supplement? Isn't that different than a supplement?
Not necessarily. Whole food supplements are talking about, in general, there's food-based supplements. And these food-based supplements, theoretically, at the very least, are superior in terms of bioavailability. And so, I haven't had a lot of experience with a lot. I mean, when I say it that way, I've had a lot of people trying whole foods, and I see as many reactions to whole food supplements as I do to any of the other supplements. And so the only difference would be if people with chronic digestive problems on a regular multi, then make sure you treat a food-based multi instead of the regular multi, and I've had people who respond well to that situation. Otherwise, I see the same kind of relative rates of problems. If you want to see it, take off. Because something like a multi, you're not doing for any specific purpose. The way I'm looking at things, if somebody says, you know what, I take glucosamine, and ever since my joints are so much better, there's no reason to stop that during a detox, you know. But basic things like a multi and whatever else that you're doing for long term, not necessarily. You want to see, are you reacting to component, and you take those out on average.
What if they're like a fruit and a vegetable along with the fruits and vegetables?
Would on average, the thing I'm saying is if you're feeling toxic and there's something you're doing every day, even good things, sometimes it's best to give yourself clarity because there might be a component, you know, that vegetable supplement has, some ground broccoli and a little bit of a garlic and you actually have an allergy to broccoli and garlic and you're actually reacting to it. So that's one of the things. See, even though that's good stuff, broccoli and garlic, you might be reacting to it. So getting it out of there, giving yourself that clean slate, right, and then reintroducing them one at a time is a really good way of saying, whoa, you know what, when I take my green supplement, I feel horrible, or great. I mean, I'm trying to lead you. I mean, I'm just saying, because then you'll know that at that point you go, wow, I feel great, or I don't, or I feel neutral, and neutral is fine because some of these things we take for long-term health, right? Okay. But you want to get an idea if you're reacting to anything. And that's, to me, a better, you know, I see a lot of people for food allergy testing, and sometimes that's a better way of determining whether you're reactive to a food is to do this elimination and then reintroduce it and just listen. Sometimes it's confusing anyways, but that's a good way of going about things. In some programs, like the Renew, you go down to the point where you're not even allowed citrus. You're not allowed other things. I think that gets too restrictive for some people to do. And so you have to look at those things as being, because a lot of people drink orange juice every day, and they are reacting to it. Just use that as an example. Okay, so you have to look at the things you eat commonly and say, huh, I wonder if that's really as good as I think it is. Okay, but you can get to the, you know, when you're really a purist, okay, a purist is to just use white rice only, okay? If you really want to see if you're reacting to the foods in your diet, you go to white rice only. And yes, you live, okay? and then do that for 2 weeks, and you come out and you introduce every food slowly to see. I very rarely, only if somebody's really, really sick, do I ever even imply that that's a good idea, because 99.9% of us wouldn't do it, okay? And so, because you can react even to good things. That's where, you know, so that's why if people who have, say, have a really good diet, but they're toxic anyways, I've seen a lot of people really react negatively to tomatoes or to green beans or to other things. So you actually have to open, if you say, I have a really great diet, but you're toxic anyway, it could be because you're toxic related to the foods you're eating. Okay. The question, you know, it depends on how, the question that goes into, you know, is it good to take time off of work if you're detoxing? And the answer is yes, always, if you can, okay? And if you have time off to do this, take the time out and get away from stress and strife. The, you know, I get political here. I was bagged on Fox News right there. I mean, but if you're watching Fox News 12 hours a day, that's more toxic than any food you can ever eat, okay? It's meant to make you hate the world, okay? So, okay. CNN, whatever else like that. So you got to be careful about this toxicity thing because it's everything you're ingesting. Okay, if it's heavy metal 24 hours a day, it's whatever else. You got to look at all these toxins are everywhere. Okay, so including most of the world, which is driving your behavior, especially for women. You're not pretty enough. You're not this enough. You got to buy this. You got to buy that. All that's toxicity. So unplugging from all of that. Unplugging from our workspace where you hate your boss or whatever else like that. That seriously, that can make a huge difference. And you realize, how many people, man, I feel so great when I'm not working on vacation. I feel so horrible when I'm here. I feel so great when I'm not. Hey, what do you think that means? I don't know. Seriously, I go, really, you don't know, do you? Okay, let's look at it a little bit more. Because that's the whole point, remember, if you know, you have all these achiness and symptoms, and it's not your food sometimes. It's the job. Or the music you listen to, or the news, or the shows, or the whatever else. All those are potential sources of disruption for you, okay? And so that's why getting away, and I'm expanding on your question, from the work and from other things, not just because, because it takes a time out for you to spend time in nature and journal and do other things and really be contemplative, which I think is a wonderful thing to add into a detox, if you can. The problem once we start talking like that is the more parameters you give to people, the less chance they will do a detox, okay? So is it a good idea? Yes, but please, detox. It's like I tell people, yes, exercising 5 minutes a day is better than none. Okay, is that enough? Probably not, but it's better than none. So don't use, oh, I don't have the time to exercise. Oh, man, you don't have 5 minutes a day? Well, that's not enough. It's better than the amount you're exercising. Oh, damn, you're right. Yeah, I am. but they knew it anyways. I'm not right. Whenever you say something like that, people, they know it already, right? And just, oh, darn you. He told me what I knew already. And so is it a good idea? Yes, it's a good idea to get away from these things because it's so easy because the diet stuff, of course, is important, okay? But I think what many people miss when they're doing their detox programs is, man, it's the shows I'm watching, it's the music, and all these other things can be the source of toxicity. It's what's generating the thought patterns and things like that. That's what they need to unplug from. Yes?
I think that a lot of
they're the exact same as the symptoms as you have of toxicity. That's the reactions we're talking about. So the symptoms of toxicity you have, if you the reactions that you'll have to foods are the exact symptoms that you presented with. So if you tend towards sinus things, you eat that bowl of ice cream 2 weeks later, or whatever, a gluten, okay? Whatever you're prone to, that's what you'll get. I feel so tired. Okay, why do I eat something? Why do I eat fuel and feel so tired? Because it's not the right fuel. Or feel so achy, or I burp too much, or I fart too much, or whatever else like that. It can be any symptom in the world can be your symptom, your reaction, okay? And that's why you have to be careful, because there's never going to be a double-blind trial in you about what you react to, okay? So why can't your doctor speak on this? Because there's no double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical trials, okay? And nor there ever will be on this, okay? And your doctor has been indoctrinated into believing if something doesn't exist in a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical trial, it's not medicine, it's quackery. Oh, my gosh. Oh. And literally will look down upon anybody who does anything who doesn't do that. And that's the scary part that you... And we're indoctrinated into not looking and trusting ourselves, because nothing I told you about any of these things can be proven on a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical trial, which theoretically is the only source of medicine your doctor's supposed to practice medicine. And when I say theoretically, that's completely untrue, but it's the way your doctors are indoctrinated. And so... back to this. And that's why you'll need to look. But that goes into, once you step out, the beauty of kind of stepping back anytime from and looking at medical systems is, it's one of my favorite lines from Deepak Chopra when he was talking about Ayurveda. We're very careful about what we teach you in Ayurveda, because 95% of it is crap. Okay. So is 95% of Ayurveda crap? Probably. I'd say the same thing about most systems of healing. Okay? They all have their black cap equivalents, okay? And so now that sometimes scares people. Oh my gosh, I want my doctor to have all the answers. No, you don't. You want to have the answers based upon your personal experiences, not upon WebMD, not upon these other things outside of you, but upon your experiential knowingness of what goes on with you. Because there's never going to be a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical trial on you. Okay, and that's where most systems of healing treat humans, not diseases. When we talk about cancer treatment, we'll talk about what's happened, why every doctor only will do randomized clinical trials on the same chemotherapy regimen, only treating cancers, never treating people with cancer. Okay, so it's this problem taken to the nth degree. Okay, and so why you have to work with your doctors who know chemotherapy and work with them and how to support your body through that, because that doctor unfortunately has really been taught that they can't do anything but that, okay? And we have to take back our own health. That's what these seminars are about, by the way, okay? So when you find out, because I'm not going to tell you exactly how to detox, you know, I joke with people, if I sat across from all my people, all you can do is racquetball. No, I want to swim. No swimming for you, racquetball. See, that's not fair, okay? All right? I could do it very convincingly. Oh, my doctor won't let me swim. And that wouldn't be right, would it? There's lots of good ways of exercising. You just have to find out about them. There's myriads of good ways of detoxing. There's not a lot of great science behind it. But guess what? There's never been a double-blind placebo-controlled trial telling you to swim or play racquetball. You found out yourself. See? Medicine, healing, you're you. Okay, how do you find out about detox? You do something to help support your body. Get guidance from people who know. I do know how to detox, and so do other natural physicians. Get some guidance, but in the end, the one you stick with, just like I tell people, the best form of exercise, the one you'll do. The best meditative practice, the one you'll do. Okay, best way to detox, the one you'll do. Okay, and never will there be, I won't use that long term again, that big trials to help you determine that. Cool. All right. So, far infrared saunas. I'm just going to cover a few things that we do as well. I recommend far infrared saunas because far infrared saunas have been shown to enhance your body's ability to detox multiple times, especially Japan and Korea. GABA research. And I won't spend too much time. This is some slides that will be up there about where you get far infrared, the difference between far infrared, near infrared, and all these things. This stuff isn't too important. But looking at something like this, I'll just use Fahrenfred sauna for using for congestive heart failure. It is actually the most significantly beneficial treatment for congestive heart failure really ever studied, all right? And it works in more people, 80% of people, than almost any medicine that's used. It's been shown to improve exercise tolerance, heart function, prevent hospitalization and death, okay? How many cardiologists in our country use? Okay, the answer is zero. The reason being, it's not a drug. There's nobody in their lobby telling them to use this, okay? It's a treatment, and you might say, what is he talking about, congestive heart failure in a detox seminar? It can be used for chronic pain, mood healing. It's about enhancing your body's blood vessels. It's about getting toxins out of your body, and it can improve function far more than just helping with toxicity. This is a simple 2-week trial using sauna therapy. And sauna, and I'm just bringing up in terms of weight loss, everybody said, oh, you just lose water weight. No. This affects your body's thermoregulation abilities by increasing the core temperature about a degree, by putting you in about 140 to 150 degree temperature for about 30 minutes in this case, longer if you choose, enhancing your detoxification, improving fat metabolism, and note that in fairly heavy people who are averaging 41% body fat, that in 2 weeks they went down about 4 or 5% body fat. So you're losing fat as part of your detoxification. Losing fat is a very important thing because that's when we lose weight, what we want to lose, okay? And there's another parts of this trial that show that you can do free radical markers and other things show them greatly decrease after you go through sauna therapies. So is far infrared sauna something you can just consider for your own home? Yes, we have one as well. That's why I use one, okay? It's really good in terms of enhancing your ability to detox. That's one thing I recommend. This is just a funny thing on the joke, about the heat, Would you like Inferno or not Inferno? It's all Inferno, thank you. So it's a heating technique. IV glutathione for detoxification. Glutathione is a tripeptide, and this is just tripeptide, just three simple little amino acids. It's the primary antioxidant system in your own body. It can be used to prevent radiation injury. It's a chelator of heavy metals. That's its chemical structure. I'm sure you guys love that, but when I do other talks, I need this slide. It can reverse alcohol and liver disease. It's used for the treatment of hepatitis C. It enhances the detoxification process through the liver. Improves immune system function. It's an anti-cancer agent. And yes, glutathione levels dramatically decrease with age. One of your body's best detoxification processes. The older we get, the less glutathione we make. You will hear about glutathione. Oral glutathione is uniformly not well absorbed. So oral glutathione, there's some newer forms called N-acetyl glutathione and some other things that are out there that might be coming on. The topical, the transrectal, the nebulized glutathione really don't have a lot of trials. The primary doctor who uses glutathione uses it IV, the doctor who came up with these Parkinson's protocols. So when we do do you have that sheet on the thing we do with the detox protocols? With the glutathione and okay. So when we do a glutathione protocol, what we do, if somebody needs detoxification, do you have a bunch of those? Oh, okay. Interesting. it's one way of handling it. There's one back there. And basically, the first phase of things is we get somebody on doing something simple and basic like this. If they're feeling toxic, we add in something like sauna. Even more so, we make sure we give them some IV glutathione to kind of enhance the process. What I'll tell you what we've experienced when you use glutathione is it helps decrease some of the real toxicity symptoms people have and enhances their ability to clear toxins from their body without feeling so funky, okay? And we use it a lot for Parkinson's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases. The only reason to spend a little time with IVs right now is that can you use IV nutritionals to enhance certain processes? The only negative with these things, of course, is the expense. IV nutritionals are expensive. You have to pay for the nursing and all the other things, and it's expensive to do. But if you need help, the chronic fatigue people, the fibromyalgia people, IV glutathione, along with sauna, along with other things, there's lots of ways of enhancing the process of detoxification. Don't worry about that. But this goes into neurotoxicity, how IV glutathione neutralizes the neurotoxins. You'll hear a lot in terms of neurotoxicity, Alzheimer's, memory loss, all these other things. Glutathione can help a whole lot with that. If you're really interested, there's a guy, David Perlmutter, P-E-R-L-M-U-T-T-E-R. He has his own website. He has tons of stuff on IV glutathione for enhancing memory and all kinds of other things. Okay. Almost getting there. So, we want to use our instincts, okay? Sometimes it's good to get help, okay? And so, because there's a lot, if you go online, you'll see a bazillion ways to do detox. Most of them are kind of funny. I mean, and there's a lot of sites. I just went to a couple days ago just to get a kick out of the detox sites. And you'll hear all kinds of stuff said. You know, it's like you can get everything you need just through your diet or all these other things. There's a lot of things that people say that just aren't true, that there's no backing for. Some people claim that colonics are the only way to go. Some people say their cleansing system's the only way to go. You have to be careful because, the programs I recommend the most, and I think that's it, are the Ultra Clear Renew program. Why? Because they've actually got clinical trials in the functional medicine team that did research on that program on helping people, especially with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. By the way, that's the group you would study the most toxic if you're trying to find if your supplements work, by the way. It just makes sense. Are there much studies on general population? There really isn't, because testing for that and the amount of people that you would need to find because of these unique sensitivities are almost past the ability of the sensitivity. How do I put this? The number of people you would need in the clinical trial for a very healthy population is enormous, and you'd never get it done. Okay. So the HEAL detox comes from the Homotoxicology Group. What a great group from Germany. And they've done a lot of research on using ultra fine dosages, homeopathic type dosages of certain nutrients to stimulate your body's ability to cleanse. Okay. And this would be a lot like, homeopathic Ipecac, which doesn't cause vomiting, but higher levels will. Okay. So using certain things that help your body cleanse itself, help the kidneys cleanse, help the liver cleanse. There's lots of nutrients that are known to do that. Using them at ultra low dosages helps support your body. And they have all kinds of great biochemical science behind their stuff. But again, not a lot of clinical trials. And I have to be clear, again, you'll always hear me tell you, if there's a great double-blind trial, blah, 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 I'll let you know. With this stuff, you've got to keep trying things, and you've got to keep detoxing. And so I have found, including some popular products that are out there, I have found, because you don't know, and you have to, when you start using these multi-herbal combinations, including things with milk thistle, if you don't know some of the stuff is not coming from China, you cannot take it, okay? Because we all know that there's lead and all kinds of, our ginseng grown next to the toxic poison dump with, things like that. It's not good for you, okay? And so you have to be clear where your company is getting herbs. So, Gaia Herbs is a great company. Herb Farm is a great company, okay? They track and do and cultivate and organically grow their herbs. So if you want to use some detoxes outside of the one that I'm looking for, those are great companies to look at, okay? Gaia, G-A-I-A, Gaia Herbs. They have a great website, and at least you know what you're taking is good, okay? Because that's the thing. I don't want people going out and buying some detox product at the local grocery store that might be, laden with all kinds of chemicals and all kinds of things. As I have seen people come into my clinic and measure blood tests with horrifically bad liver enzymes while they're on detox products because the things they were taking were bad for them. So I'm not trying to be scary, but you guys have known I've always been like this. Know what you take. Do not, if price is the only reason to choose a supplement, don't buy anything. It saves you the most money. And there's nothing wrong with that choice. It really isn't. I want to buy the cheap one. No. Let me save you the most. I can be cheaper than that. Zero. You've saved yourself the most money. Okay. People ask me, I like that Source Naturals thing. Well, Source Naturals doesn't have a good detox program, so I don't carry any of theirs. Okay. How do you know? Because I know. And so I wish there was any one company that made every one thing great, right? But you don't buy your boots at the same place you buy your pumps or whatever, shoe shopping. Been doing too much shoe shopping. Pumps came out. sorry. But the you can't get the same, you know, the best fish oils from the same place as the detox as whatever else, because some companies tend to be good at certain things, okay? And that's the way this stuff is. So I'd love to tell you there's only one company to buy these things from. It's just not that simple. Sorry. So in terms of doing a detox program, I would do something like this for 2 weeks or something like the Heal Detox for 2 weeks while I'm doing a really good healthy diet, while I'm really trying to unplug as much as I can, okay, getting away from things, okay, and I would do that on a regular basis, okay. Now I use 3 times a year as an example. More if you're more toxic. That's really the thing. You want to give yourself cycles. This toxicity thing is, you know, I give the example of the stain on the carpet. You clean it up and then, man, there was more there, wasn't there? Okay. But you just take some time and then clean it again. And you keep, the toxins in our body kind of seep out like that. And you detox them. You do a detox program and they tend to seep out again. I know you know, might or might not like these analogies, but I got to tell you, that's exactly what I see. It's just like that. Okay, so you got to keep working on it, depending on how much is in there. And there's ways of assessing that, but I'd tell you, I'd keep detoxing anyways, so I don't tend to do a GABA test unless people have a whole lot of, you know, diseases, because I'm going to tell them to detox anyways, right? So unless the test is going to change my, you know, what I tell them, I don't tend to do a lot of testing in this area. I do the BIA test. I follow up on that, see if they're improving. That's a good thing to do. That's simple and easy to do. I sometimes do heavy metal testing, and I sometimes do these other things. I'm happy to do tests on people. Be clear about that. Remember, everybody knows I love tests, okay? You know, that's the only thing is that it can cost sometimes. And, you know, it doesn't cost me a single thing to order the test. It costs you a single thing. And so that's why it's so easy for me to order them. So you just have to be careful of the costs of those things. And, you know, but many times, like I said, they aren't covered by insurances because they really aren't part of the standard repertoire of diagnosing disease, because they're not meant to diagnose disease. Does that make sense? That's what people ask me, why they aren't covered, because they don't diagnose diseases. Subsequently speaking, the way the system's set up, unless it's going to lead me to give you some new drug, I'm not going to be allowed to order the test. And so that's why these things don't offer drugs. There's usually nutritional things we do for this. That's why this, oftentimes these things aren't covered by your insurance programs. Sorry, I didn't make the rules. Questions? We're almost. The question, if you're diagnosed with cancer, would you do a detox program immediately? And the answer is no. You need now, because it's a matter of metabolic energy, you need your metabolic energy working on dealing with the stressor at the time. There's certain things you do to heal up the gastrointestinal tract. You deal with making sure that if the person is getting chemotherapy or radiation therapy, you give them a lot of nutritional support, unlike what the cancer specialists tell you. And we'll go on and on about that next time, about the synergistic and improvements and outcomes you get by doing nutritional therapies. It's out throughout their entire literature. And if you understood it at all, you would never listen to that part of their recommendations. You have to do nutritional support, because cancer biology is different than normal biology. So you take care of the normal cells while you're going through the toxic treatment, and that enhances the toxicity to the bad guys and decreases the toxicity to you, which is exactly what you'd want. You really focus on that part and not necessarily doing a detox, because the detox you would do after you finished the toxins, okay? So, and the toxins would be, and I think you guys, there's a time and a place for surgery and radiation and chemo, right? Not all the time, though, okay? That's not always, you know, for certain metastatic cancers and things. But you do whatever you can with these treatments. But they're fairly toxic, so you got to support the person through that before you go into a detox if you're dealing with any significant health condition, okay, including cancer. And so, but you'd support yourself during, and that's a very specific discussion, okay? But in general, if you had a, you know, significant health condition, do you start a detox right that time? Not usually. You know, I never say never, but almost never. You really focus on treating that condition and then doing the detoxing afterwards, because you need to do that as part of it, because we want to minimize that toxicity, get the toxins out of your body so whatever the condition was doesn't recur. Other questions? Yes. In terms of what I think, in terms of the question, this goes into this individualization that we all have. And so there are, the functional medicine world, as we learn more about genomics, there's detoxigenomic profiles available to doctors today to determine how well you glucuronidate and glycinate and do all these other things that are heart rate. And it turns out most of us actually have one or two little breaks down in the metabolic pathways that do make us uniquely sensitive to a pesticide or to a drug or whatever else. And so what you're saying is exactly correct. This goes into that what exactly, in a more specific way, exactly what I was alluding to. Because then what you'd have to say, well, this toxin with this person with this genomic profile, what are the effects on them and how do you detox that person with that genomic profile? Just to give an example, there's a common condition in 7% of people called Gilbert syndrome. And if you're one of those 7%, you have a high total bilirubin on your normal labs. Your doctor's been taught, well, you just have high bilirubin. Under stress, it might go up a little. There's a lot, there's like about, well, 80% of people have one SNP, abnormal polymorphism, put it into English. Their enzyme is off in a certain way, okay? And another 20%, there's a whole bunch of other ways that it can be off that causes that condition. As it turns out, it really is significant from a detoxification standpoint. And we don't look at it from that standpoint. So having Gilbert's, you shouldn't take Tylenol, and there's a few other medicines you shouldn't take. So that's one of those unique genetic sensitivities that you would be talking about where that person would be horrifically, you know, the complications of taking chronic Tylenol would maybe 10 to 15 times worse than the average person. Okay, and this goes into our individuality and that where detoxigenomic profiles will come out. And those are the fun things for me. But as you're picking up on, unless you have a certain way of organizing things mentally, this is a lot for most of your doctors to take on. Okay, because it's a huge field of medicine. And what we've done with medicine to make it is we, you know, I do integrative medicine. Most of what you do is, and most of what people go for is disintegrative medicine, right? They want their specialists for each little part of their body. So we disintegrate ourselves and go to the foot specialist, the eye specialist, the specialist, and whatever else, because it's too much knowledge for your foot specialist, theoretically, to know what medicines you might react to. But they actually really do kind of need to know that because they're treating the person who so happens to have the foot. Or the eye, or the whatever. And so, it's a pretty, it's a lot to know. It really is. And so, and you have to have, kind of like I said, a unique ability to kind of put those things together. And that's tough, and it gets overwhelming for most docs. And so, but it is doable. I mean, and so, and there's lots of tools and systems and ways of healing, helping out there. But I want to be clear, the WebMD tools that most people are using don't have anything to do with this. They're really about how to diagnose a disease, and what drug you take for it, which there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's a very small aspect of medicine. When we're trying to open people up, it's like, wow, there's a lot more to medicine than that, isn't there? Yes. Okay. So. Like this little booklet. Yeah, this one comes with a booklet. And a lot of times they do. Okay. The Heal one doesn't. There's a standard detox like we talked about. Okay. But so most of these programs try to give you a little something to make it easier for, and easier to follow, so to speak, okay? And it's good to have things like that. How much of this supplement do I take? How many scoops of this I take, etc., to help this clearing out process. So most of these programs do have something to help you along the way, yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying. They have a diet program. They have the other things, yeah. Yeah. Well, no, they're specific for that program, but they don't have anything specific for any each individual. So that's why we have to be careful about that person honoring their unique sensitivities. Yeah. And so we already did that. It was right there. So we'll have this thing. That's basically it. You know, you go, these are the foods to eat. These are the foods to avoid. Do it. It'll be there. Okay. This PowerPoint tomorrow or the day after, but it's really straightforward. You cut out the common daily foods, and if it's not a fruit, vegetable, rice, bean, or nut, you do not eat it, okay? And any of those things that you tend to react to, you don't eat them. So if you know you don't do well with oranges or something, you don't eat them, of course. But and you don't try to make it too much more complicated than that because you don't have to, first of all. Now, that comes, if it's nice to get a bunch of recipes. Here's how you make a whatever salad and those types of things, and you can get that anywhere online even and things. But the key is to kind of cut that stuff out. Things like this do have cute little recipes and things. It makes it fun, you know, so. So that's in the secondary prevention. So like any phase, if you're asking about if you've had a heart attack, now we're in the secondary prevention phase, okay? Because you've already had it complicated, and that goes with cancer, with coronary artery disease. These are diseases that have been ingrained into us for a while. So, for instance, you know, atherosclerosis builds up about usually 25 to 30 years before the heart attack occurs or the bypass or the whatever. That's a long time to intervene. What happens if you're after that point? Well, the highest risk of having a second heart attack is having the first one. So now, and there's one thing where you give us, you know, the statin medicines, that's one thing. But then this kind of detoxification is absolutely essential. Just to give an example, a Mediterranean lifestyle has been shown to be more useful after a heart attack than going on a statin medicine. Okay, and not only does it prevent heart attacks as well, it helps prevent cancers and other things, which statins don't do. Okay, and everybody's hearing the recent things, statins causing diabetes and all these other things. So, you know, statins are being, that's the problem, a perfect part of this disintegrative medicine. You will hear from a cardiologist today that you can't get your LDL low enough. The higher dose of statin is always better, period. And if all you care about is coronary artery disease, there is some truth to that, actually. Okay, and only some, but I'm not going to bore it, you know, with that one. I can, into a frenzy even. But if you care about human organisms, that's unequivocally untrue, okay? Because you need a brain, and you need hormones, and you need cells. and so on that order, there's lots of things you can do outside of just taking a statin and an aspirin and an ACE inhibitor. These are the standard drugs after a heart attack. There's lots of things you can do through nutrition to help your body reverse coronary artery disease and prevent the second heart attack. Is it easier to treat before the first one? Well, yeah, I mean, the longer something's gone on, the harder it is to treat. I'm not going to tell you different, but there's no way, shape, or form that you should hear that just because I've had this, a heart attack, that this stuff doesn't apply. It's just actually, if anything, even more acutely important. Does that make sense? And that's, you know, the same thing goes. We want to change the field. If somebody has cancer, we want to get rid of that. Huh, but what were the underlying imbalances that led to the formation of the cancer and the body's ability to recognize it? Toxicity. So we do detox and make sure that terrain is not supportive for cancer or for arteriosclerosis or for worsening arthritis or all the other kinds of degenerative diseases that go on. And this is an enormous part of that. Otherwise, you get disintegrative and just say, I need a cancer drug or a heart drug or an arthritis drug, and we're missing the actual underlying metabolic processes. Any other questions? Because the Gators are losing, man. I thought it was clear on that one. I'm sorry. It's like, you know, this is true. You're asking a real question. I'm promising you a real answer, too. That was a real answer. It's really, you go back into real life, and the people around you say, oh, man, why don't you come out and have us a drug, you know, have drugs. Why don't you have some drugs? I got to get a different crowd to hang out with, obviously. Darn! So, I gave away some of my secrets. Anyways, how about a few drinks? Was what was supposed to came out, somehow drugs. Why don't we go to Giuseppe's? Oh, okay, you know. And then before you know, you're kind of in a pattern, you know. And you go back to these patterns, you know, fairly normally. And even if you don't feel so good, you say, wow, that was kind of fun, or I enjoyed it, or I deserve it, or all the other rationalizations that we use. And it's so easy to fall back into those patterns. And it's just normal human stuff. That's why I never blame anybody for going back to the alcohol or gaining the weight again or getting toxic again, because that's normal human stuff, okay? And so you say, okay, well, time to do it again without any guilt or blame or shame or anything else like that. And you say, okay, got to handle it again. And you go back and you do the detox again, and then you get clean until you're not. That's why you do this stuff on a regular basis. You metabolize it away. It's like a vacation, man. You feel great after a vacation. But man, you know, sometimes it was just one crappy day at work, and man, that vacation seems like, you know how it is, right? But that's why. It's just, That's just normal human behavior. That's why, but then people get so tough on themselves, you know, oh man, I can't believe I did it. And then they feel bad about themselves because they ate that Twinkie. I guess Hostess, I heard, was going out of business. Is it? Yeah. Okay. Man, I can't use my Twinkie example anymore. Okay, I'm sure there's generic Twinkies out there for you somewhere, people, okay? And so, but, you know, but then that's the thing. That's what it brings. They'll eat the Twinkie, and then what happens is this, you know, I'm such a bad person for having Twinkies. If you get into a stress response, and what do you eat? More Twinkies. And so, and that's a unique part of being human, is that we start to feel guilty about these things. When you, who cares if you ate well or you didn't eat well yesterday? But it's because it doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant in this moment, you know, and so, so, that's why people are a little too proud of themselves too sometimes, and also too tough on themselves. That's where this kind of present moment thinking is kind of really important, you know. So, all right. So one last note. Please support Make-A-Wish Foundation if you can. If you can do a donation for them, I would really greatly appreciate that. Our next talk next month is on, is you have a flyer, it's on approaches to cancer. Obviously, I cannot cover every form of cancer that's out there, but we'll talk about some of the real breakthroughs in terms of cancer biology, metabolic approaches to cancer, and how natural stuff integrates so well with current cancer treatments. Okay? Thank you.